Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. It is good to have you here midweek, and this week we have been talking about the world's earliest writing, cuneiform script baked into clay tablets, quite a bit of which has been found, uncovered, studied, and brought to some of the world's leading museums. A part of what we will talk about today or tomorrow can be seen at the British Museum in London, England, whenever it is taken out of storage and put on display. But I am getting slightly ahead of myself. Our focus, as always, is the Bible, and specifically Genesis chapter 14. We have here who, where, why, and what questions to answer. And in between the who and the where, we want to know how credible is the Hebrew Bible as it lists the names of kings and associated geographic locations. Is this fact or fiction? And we answer, fact. These kings and their kingdoms and these places really did exist, just as the Bible says they did. And we are turning to extra-biblical material to confirm what Scripture says. And first, we focus on ancient written records, and later we will get into geopolitics. Ancient written records, and then geopolitics. Yesterday, we talked about the discovery of cuneiform tablets at ancient Ebla. I hope you heard that. If not, jump on the website, godisministry.org. That's godisministry.org. And listen to the podcast at the center of the homepage. It is titled The Ebla Tablets. We made connections between what is included on those clay tablets and what is written in the text of Genesis chapter 14. Today I want to return to that chapter and read about another location where, you may have guessed it, more tablets were discovered. And the biblical name is El Lasar. To refresh memories, I am reading Genesis 14, verse 1. And it came about in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Eryok, king of El Lasar, and Kedor Lau Omer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goy. These are the days that this chapter is about. And did you catch it? One of the kings is from El Lasar. And some scholars believe that El Lasar is a variant of a place called Larsa. L-A-R-S-A. Larsa. This was an ancient city near Ur. And remember, from our study of Genesis 11 and 12, that Abraham and his family were from Ur. The Bible calls it Ur of the Chaldeans. So Larsa was located down by Ur in Mesopotamia. It was in existence as early as 2500 to 2400 BC. And as the archaeologists tell us, huge building projects and agricultural undertakings can be detected there. And Larsa is thought to be the source of a number of clay tablets, the cuneiform text revealing very interesting subject matter. Now, I must tell you up front, the content of these tablets does not speak directly to what is in the Bible. However, by revealing the content, you will hear how credible these tablets are, and given that we believe they come right out of Larsa, the Bible's name is El Lasar. This puts El Lasar on the map, if you will, as a legitimate and important place near Ur in ancient Mesopotamia, the very place Abraham is from. And El Lasar's military, as being part of the alliance of the four northern kings descending on the southern kings, in Genesis chapter 14. My point is this. A source, the Larsa tablets, outside of the Bible does speak to the credibility of the Bible itself. Now, you personally may not need such a proof. You may simply take the Bible at face value and you might think, just get back to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching itself, Swallow. However, listen to what the skeptic of Holy Scripture has to say. Consider that we should be able, in the words of the Apostle Peter, to always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks us to give an account for the hope that is in us and to do so with gentleness and reverence. 1 Peter 3:15. Stick with me. We will get back to the biblical text soon. Let's help one another understand how ancient written words, cuneiform tablets, verify what is in the Bible. This valuable exercise may help someone who is skeptical listening in right now, and or someone you know to whom you can recommend this podcast and radio broadcast. I am prayerful that is the case. Okay, here is what part of these tablets from Larsa present: Babylonian mathematics. And this includes a specific tablet that contains patterns of Pythagorean triples. What? Exactly. As you know by now, I am no fan of math, but I am a fan of history, and so let me very simply describe what this is. A Babylonian mathematics is the math developed by the people of ancient Mesopotamia from the time of the early Sumerians to the centuries after the fall of Babylon. There is quite a bit of math inscribed on these tablets, which were discovered in the 1850s onwards. Historians tell us the majority of the recovered clay tablets are from 1800 to 1600 BC and cover topics that include fractions, algebra, quadratic and cubic equations, and the Pythagorean theorem. Just listing all those kinds of math is giving some of us bad memories of school. Others of you are now very excited. I am certain we have some mathematicians among our many listeners. Well, one of these tablets now has the name Plimpton 322. The reason for the name is this: a man named George Arthur Plimpton was an American publisher and philanthropist. He was also an avid collector of historical manuscripts, and as part of his collection, he acquired a Babylonian cuneiform clay tablet from around 1800 BC. That tablet consists of a whole table of numbers, especially what are known as Pythagorean triples. This tablet is considered one of the world's most famous mathematical artifacts. According to Clifford Pickover, who wrote recently on the history of math. Anyway, before Plimpton died in 1936, he donated this tablet from Larsa, by the way, to Columbia University's Butler Library. He donated many items, and this donation is number 322, hence Plimpton 322. By the way, if you are intrigued by this, Plimpton also donated the first printed edition of Euclid's Elements of Geometry from 1482, an annotated copy of the works of Homer, owned by the Christian reformer Philip Melanchthon, as inscribed by Martin Luther, as well as a copy of the Histories by Herodotus, which was owned by Erasmus, the Dutch philosopher and Catholic theologian of the Northern Renaissance in Europe. So Plimpton collected some awesome material, and now these are there at Columbia in New York. And why have I told you all this? It is to show you that Larsa, in Genesis 14 called El-Assar, is a real place with real historic meaning. It is no fantasy land. In fact, as we speak, a clay tablet with cuneiform script is sitting in a library in the state of New York that comes directly from Larsa. If you think the Bible or this part of Genesis is some made-up story, a figment of Moses' imagination, then you need to more carefully consider historical evidence to the contrary. To solidify my point even further, let me give you another example of something we now have that is from Larsa. And when I say we, I wish I meant you and me, but I mean the famous and fascinating place that is the British Museum. Have you been? Oh, it'll blow your mind. At least it always does mine. It's one of the buildings I most want to revisit after the pandemic. If there is an end to the pandemic. In this museum, when it is on display, you can find a fragment of a clay tablet with 11 lines of inscription, which was found at an excavation in Larsa. It has the museum registration number of K.4755. Its dimensions are 6.35 centimeters in length and 6.35 centimeters in width. The inscription is cuneiform. This gives us further evidence of the place and the people that are ancient El Lasar from Genesis 14, verse 1. And, hear me, this is not the only fragment of a clay tablet we have from there. Others are in museums and collections all around the world. So when the skeptics say there is no historical memory of the peoples and places of Genesis 14, when they say none of these can be verified by outside biblical sources, these are quotes, we can say they are wrong. And we will talk more about this tomorrow. As we go, let me again remind you, if you want a good map of the territory of Genesis 14, email or send me a note and ask for it. Just say, send map, and I will do so. I trust this discussion is preparing you to answer critics you know and to build up the strength of your conviction that the Genesis is completely true. Join us tomorrow because God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.